Well, hey there.
I've missed you. It is so good to see you. But I'm going to warn you today. Some of you might be a little angry with me. So, let's do this biblically, okay? Paul tells us to be like the Bereans and not like the Thessalonians. He wants us to receive the word gladly and then search the scriptures to see what's true. And as I tell you often, it seems like people sometimes forget this by the end of the service. I am willing to confess anything that's of my own flesh and to say I'm sorry. So what I'm trying to give you is what the Spirit has given me in a practical way. So today's going to be practical. But I'm using the Word of God to talk about discipleship. We've launched into a series on discipleship that was written by, put together by a pastor in our conference. And Tim Bryant has kind of started you off with talking about Scripture memory. Have any of you been thinking about Scripture memory? Yeah. I know that you have because when I came back and people started talking to me, they go, oh, you have to memorize backwards. Tim taught us to memorize with the last verse first. I'm kind of finding a hard time doing that. So I know some of you are working on it. In our chapter a month group, we've been working in Romans 8. No. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. For I am, now Bruce Trick corrected me on this, not I am persuaded, that's my King James coming out, I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? When you have those verses, look for context to use them. Because God will give you an opening to use Scripture. And you don't have to memorize a chapter a month. And as I've told many people, I think we one time memorized a whole chapter in a month, and that was because it was 6 verses. But it works, because instead of doing something else, you're putting in your mind God's Word, and you're taking time off. You're actually fasting from something else, whether it's a news feed or something you're listening to or something you're looking at, and you're saying, God, I'm giving you my thoughts and my heart. So this morning we're going to talk about what is necessary for discipleship. We talk about discipleship, but if I pound you with truth about discipleship, it's not going to make an impact unless you're ready for it. And in some ways, we have to make sure that we are ready for it. So I'm using this verse, this context verse from Matthew 10:16, to talk to you this morning about discipleship. So, in using this verse, I see we're going to talk about two things this morning. We're going to talk about discipleship prerequisites. Where do I have to be able to actually think about myself as being a follower of Jesus? And the two things are, first of all, Jesus gives us some requirements. And secondly, he gives us some mentionables. Now, I don't know why in our dictionary we can use the word unmentionables. And that's a word, but mentionables is not a word. So I made mentionables a word. So we're going to talk about 3 requirements and 3 mentionables this morning. So here we go. Lord, we give you our ears which need to hear your word. We give you our hearts which need to be turned towards you. And we give you right now together come as a pasture for you to feed us, to care for us, and to correct us. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. So the first requirement comes from Matthew 10, verse 1. This is what Jesus did. He called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. So there's actually an activity of God that he gives us authority and he gives us power. Look at the activating words in this verse. Authority, to cast out, and to heal. And that's for us. That's for us. We have authority from Jesus, and he's given us implements to be active. Now, how many of you have been casting out or healing this week? Yeah, okay, we have someone who raised their hand, all right. So maybe this conversation about discipleship will move into some testimonies. So Jenny, I would give you the floor right now, except for that I've got to look at your faces here in a couple minutes to see if I need to unpack some certain things that I'm going to get to. Okay? Praise God. But we don't really think about that we have the ability to make infiltration to free people, and we do. That's what we as Christians are all about, freeing people. So we need to be free, and we need to be freeing people. Praise God. Now, God gives us a context, and this comes to the second requirement. Notice this, that Jesus gives the disciples a specific context to minister to. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles, and do not enter a town of the Samaritans, but go rather the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, I am kind of making this kind of broader, but listen, God gives us a context of people we are to relate to. And that means there's certain people that we just aren't to relate to. So one of the contexts is people here at Agape. We need to make sure we have a relationship with the people here at Agape and are taking that seriously. And God will give us other people, our family. These are places that the Lord wants us to go. And I will get into this a little bit later. We are in a society that says we can be in everybody's business and everybody can be in our business, because that's what the newspaper and publications are all about. And might I say, Facebook. And that's for the kind of older generation now, you know, so Instagram or who knows what all those other things are. Okay? But God has given you specific people. So who are your people? Who does God say go to? Go to. Who is he telling you to go to? So these are the people. Yeah, so he will reveal who those people are. I can only help you by saying family and your church family, your immediate family. How about your neighborhood and your neighbors? And your neighbors. So the third requirement is you need to have a giving, perceptive, and thankful spirit. I'm moving kind of fast here, and you'll see why in a minute. He says to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Well, I like the NASB a little bit better here. It says, freely you received, freely give. This is a principle very like the Lord's Prayer. Remember, what does he say? And I use the trespass word, I'm sorry. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a receiving and a giving. We have received, we need to give. If you aren't aware of what you've received, you can't give it. What have you received from your Lord? It might be a good thing to be writing those things down or noting them somewhere every day. If you're not noting them, you can't give them. So freely you've received. And you did not receive because you're good. God is not saying, okay, these are my A students, they get more. When it comes to God, you receive by his grace and his mercy, and it really has nothing to do with how good you are. So freely receive, freely give. Okay, so those are the three requirements that he talks about. Now I'd like to jump ahead to verse 16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts. They will flog you in their synagogues. Did you just hear that phrase? Now, the synagogues were a place for worship. And flogging in synagogues was not a normal occurrence. They will flog you in their places of worship. You will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the Gentiles, who, by the way, I just told you a few verses before, you're not to go to. What does that say? I'm going to take you to them. Yeah. So, three unmentionables. First mentionable. You will be like a sheep among wolves. I love this. You will be like a sheep among many wolves. Now, I've been in the wilderness. I've never had to face a wolf. But can you imagine being lost in the woods and knowing there's a wolf following you? Now, can you imagine being lost in the woods and having a pack of wolves following you? That's what Jesus is saying. You are going to be like a sheep among wolves. Now that's a little scary. Second mentionable, you must be wise and innocent. So the scripture says we need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. So we need to be wise and we need to be innocent. I'm going to unpack that in a moment. And then the third mentionable is that you must be wary of what people will do to you. So this is what the scripture says. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts, flog you in their synagogues. You will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. It's not going to be fair. And that's what Jesus tells his disciples. Now, I would like to spend a few moments unpacking this and talking about what I call a Facebook vacuum. In some ways, I love Facebook because it kind of opens up something that's been happening in our culture, which we succumb to. And so, we have had the press. There wasn't a press in the 1400s, essentially. There was no press. There wasn't a UPI, which is now extinct. Basically, what people heard was what the priest said or what their ruler said. My heritage is German. They had a way of dealing with that. They created a card game in which they gave the king no power. It's called Sheepstead. But today we have a press who talks about anything that they find. News is news. Some of you remember maybe last year I showed Gary Gnu. No news is good news with Gary Gnu, right? Just because it's news doesn't mean it's pertinent for you. Why? Because you've been given a people to be engaged with. Jesus says, these are the people you're to be engaged with. And I have a couple stories. Sometimes if we are commenting, we could be throwing what is very holy to swine, and we make Christianity a mockery. Let me tell you what's holy. God says, I will judge. So, judgment is of God, and judgment will be righteous, and there will be a judgment. This is Matthew 25 and 26. But you are not going to be the judge. Judgment is reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ because he's been given the authority of judgment by the Father, and it's not ours. Speaking righteousness and truth is always appropriate for those we have a Matthew 18 relationship with. Do I have a relationship with you? If I have a relationship with you, then I have a responsibility to connect with you one-on-one. If you see something wrong in me, you should come to me. If I see something wrong in my relationship with you or something in you, I'm to come to you. This is the Matthew 18 way of working things. Notice that that doesn't say anything about, okay, bring this up in a meeting. Or broadcast it on Facebook. I had somebody come into my office, and I was kind of shocked, and I've been unpacking this for about 3 years. And they said, your congregation is full of people who hate. And they're hypocrites. And I thought to myself, I don't see that. I come here on Sunday morning, I have no idea what you must be. I didn't say this, I mean, you know, because I'm counseling them. But, you know, kind of like, you must be crazy. My people are very loving. I have a lot of people who come here and say, oh, they love coming into our context because they feel very loved. So I started unpacking that. And honestly, I was scratching my head for a long time. I'm going to put these things together, but I have another illustration. So there's a pastor in town. His name's Cal Phillips. I work with him. He's part of our servant leadership team for College of Prayer. And Cal told me I could use this illustration. So Cal was in an accident many years ago, and it's been under litigation. Because there were damages, he lost his leg. So it was under litigation for a long, long time. And they finally went to court very recently, end of last year. And they're in court, and it came time for Cal to testify. This is what Cal tells me. He said they had a pile of papers this high, and they put it on the desk. And for the next hour and a half, they said, on July 15th, such and such a day, did you say this on Facebook? Pew. On this day, such and such a date, did you say this on Facebook? Pew. And Cal said, I kind of had an aha moment. That what I thought I was just posting for the day was going to be used against me. Now, praise the God, he said there were a couple times I could say, well, yeah, that was the day I took this medication. But whether you take a medication or not, we leave a track record for others to follow. Think about that. I'm sure Cal was, he didn't say this, but I'm sure he was squirming for that hour and a half. And he said, I've never approached Facebook the same way after that day. Because everything, and I don't even know how they find it. I can't, somebody tells me, oh, did you look at such and such post? I try to scroll and find, I can't find it. But it's there, and it can be found. That's a little scary. So as Christians, it makes me wonder, what are we leaving as a testimony? I want to do just a hypothetical now, so don't jump at me right now. But I want to talk about someone who was a hero to me, and that's Bruce Jenner. Now, if you know the story of Bruce Jenner, at a time when it seemed like the United States could never come up with a winner in the Olympics, he won the decathlon. And I remember thinking to myself, wow. Every day that they do another event, I go, oh man, we've got somebody who's great in this country. So I put Bruce Jenner in a place of recognition for me. Whatever that was, I created a world. I created who he was. And I'm sure for a lot of people, we do that. But I never looked at the two broken marriages and then the third. I never looked at what was going down on inside this man, who now says, I'm a woman, and my name is Caitlin. Now, there's something that I have to talk about here, and that is that who is our enemy? So we have in our culture activists, and there's an activist movement, and that activist movement is quite honestly not from God. But the activist movement has a lot of people following it that are lost sheep. That means that our Lord has a heart for reaching them. So I'm just trying to get practical here, guys, okay? So we have, remember what I said, receive the word gladly, process it through Scripture to see what's true, right? Okay. So we have a pastor that I know about because it's been published who said something about Caitlyn Jenner. And then something that was biblical and put it together. And we have maybe millions, but at least thousands of Christians who've commented on that. I have a question to ask. What relationship did you have with that pastor? If you don't know what I'm talking about, good. If you do know what I'm talking about, then you get the context. So a pastor was fired from his church because he put on a sign, Caitlyn Jenner is a male, and then he talked about the truth of homosexuality or, you know, man and woman. So in that was scriptural truth, but it was also mixed with something that was just not biblical, and that's speaking with somebody who you don't know, have a relationship with. But I'm not even being too hard on the guy, but somebody is probably relating to them. Hopefully somebody under a Matthew 18 context is relating to this man. But because we think that all news is news and can be published. We just receive it. It's a Facebook vacuum. It's like, oh, yeah, well, we can comment on it. It's not biblical for us to be commenting on that. It is very biblical to hear about it and pray. So, so lost. The Facebook vacuum. You must be wise, innocent, and Matthew 18 able. So if we're commenting on things that are not for us to comment on, we're not innocent anymore. And it's not very wise. Any judgment that you make breaks the spec versus plank instruction. I'm sorry for the verbiage there. There's a reason for me being messed up in my head when I wrote that sentence. Matthew 7, this is what it says. If you see a speck in your brother's eye, before you comment or make judgment on it, you better pull the stinking plank out of your eye. And I'm sorry for using the word stinking. But if there's a plank in your eye, it probably stinks. Christians are to respect relationships and not gossip. I have another story for you. My friend Dan Bluest, who is part of our SL team, T team also, said he was at the point of basically having his current marriage, because he'd had past marriages, break up. And so they went to a soul care conference, hoping that their marriage could be fixed. And he said, the very first session, the leader of the conference said, who of you have ever commented to somebody else about someone else? Raise your hand. So he said that out of a group of about, 100 people, he said there were about, 15 who raised their hand. He and Shana raised their hand. And they're thinking, so he saw the smile on the leader's face. So he's thinking, you know what? This was a good thing we raised our hand, because we're telling the truth. And then the leader proceeded to say, congratulations. Would you stand up, please? Congratulations, you're the cancer of the church. And then there was a long pause. And then the leader said, and by the way, we'll talk to the rest of you because you're all liars. And if you're at the College of Prayer, you'll see Dan and Shana, and you can talk to him about that. And believe me, he'll be animated about that story. Because that was the beginning of saving their marriage. Why do we think we can comment on other people's situations? I don't know. There's only one way that Jesus talks about how we're to relate to that. If they're in our area of relationship, then we are to go to that person in private, like behind doors, because we want unity and reconciliation. And hiding it behind a mask and saying you're not going to deal with it is also not an option, because there's not unity there either. You might not be gossiping, but you're holding back what God wants to do to make us one. And this is absolutely significant. We, as a small congregation, and we're small, and I don't know what we're going to look like in a year, but I can tell you this, that if we hold on, if we hold on to the actual activating Holy Spirit part of our faith, God can do miraculous things. But we have to get rid of the cancer first. And this cancer is in every church. And it would almost, when Paul was leading us in praying for the church in India, it seems like this is the way God kind of takes that cancerous stuff out of you. He puts you in persecution, because when you're in persecution, all that stuff gets taken away. You go through the fire. Yeah, Facebook vacuum. Now, one last thing, and if you don't follow Facebook, and I have to tell you, I try to stay on the back of it. I didn't want to bring up exact things, because even that, if I brought up the exact slide and what the exact post was, even then I think I'm kind of teetering on gossip. So that, and I apologize to those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, but you get the gist. I know you do. So recently, when I say recently, okay, a couple months, there was a Christian artist who was talking about, was asked a question about a stance regarding, and when I say this, I'm saying it wrong. I realize I'm saying it wrong. I'm just trying to move the conversation. Homosexuality, LGBTQ, and many others, okay? And I'm making a summary statement, okay? And that person made a statement that was somewhat benign, but it wasn't a strong stance, a strong biblical stance. It was a relational stance. And again, Christians flooded in to say, well, how dare they, or how, you know, that was good. And basically what the person said was that, well, I talked to them about what's biblical, and I have many gay friends. And of course, there were Christians who said, how dare they? And guys, I'm not. You may have made a comment on this. I am not commenting on you. I'm doing this generally. I'm trying to do this graciously. It is not for us to speak or say, to like or not like. It is not for us to speak into that relationship. That person actually has people around them who have a Matthew 18 relationship with them. And if there was something wrong or something right, those are the people to speak into that. It's just the way that we get health, by staying out of that Facebook vacuum. And because we have, and I talked about publications, because we have this idea where we have newspapers and we talk about stuff, and even on Christian radio we have, you know, news, right? Somehow we forget that there is actually a righteous context to how to deal with relationships. And all news is not good news. I don't care about Gary Gnu. And God gives us news. He gives us relationships that we are to be invested in. Go to your church. Go to your neighborhood. Go to your family, and then others. We all have different contexts that Jesus is sending us to. Now, how do we do this? How do we start? Well, the first place to start, so Jesus said, I want you to go preach, the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, we can't preach repent for the kingdom of God is at hand unless we repent to bring the kingdom of God here. That's how we make it active. So there's really only one place. June, good job. Thank you. I talked a lot this morning. That's where we start, guys. We need to be clean and clear. This is when God can use us as a follower of Jesus. When we have our stuff straightened out. Now, I believe wholeheartedly in... Okay, number one, you guys know that I dabble in Facebook at the very best. So today, I've talked to all of you about certain things. I've generalized them. I do not remember any of your specific posts. Okay, so I'm not talking directly to you. But I feel like when I've started processing this three-year-old conversation, I'm realizing that what we post, and I know that that was like the beginning of the whole election, what we post, guys, has to be holy. And actually, I'm not saying stay away from Facebook, because Facebook is a place for us to be ignited in prayer. But if someone is gossiping and we do a thumbs up to the gossip, we're just spreading what Satan would love for us to spread. He'd love to taint his church, to give people a wrong idea of what the church is. And we need to step out of that. And we can. So, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Preach it. So where do we start? So discipleship is following Jesus. By the way, I'll say it again. I miss you very much. So I've heard you had some great Sundays. Here we go. We're unleashing discipleship. This is important. So where do we start? Guys, the Lord makes it so easy. Repent. Just say you're sorry. And then let the Holy Spirit start directing what that means. So, I've made a bunch of summaries this morning. I've talked this morning. Let me go back to what Tim walked you through. So, as followers of Jesus, we have to start activating the Word. We need to start activating Matthew 18. We need to start activating what He gives us as far as authority. We need to start activating our relationship. We need to start being active and letting God use us. That's a great place to start. Do I have an amen? Okay. Paul, I have nothing else to say.